You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. How you doing this morning? You all right? I'm so glad you made it, church. Let's give it up for Jesus this morning. Come on. I believe that if you honor the Lord with the first day of the week, by you just being here at church on Sunday, the Lord absolutely takes notice of that. And your week's going to be better just because you're putting God first. Do you believe that, somebody? I want to say a very special welcome to all of our friends watching online. So, hey, Miss Claudia, all the way from Brazil, we love you. Hey, good morning, good morning. To the Berry family watching from Africa in Cameroon, we love you. Good to see you. Good to see you as well. To the pages watching from Kilgore, what are you doing? Come on, get in here. From Abilene to Mineral Wells. Hey, to Miss Didi in Louisiana, we love you guys. It's so great, so good to have you tuning in with us here today. And hey, we love you. Let's give them a big warm round of applause to all of our friends watching. Awesome. Grab your Bibles if you will. We're going to spend some time in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14, as we continue on with our series called Rebel Heart. And this is all about the 80s. We're going to take you back in the DeLorean with Doc, 88 miles per hour, 1.21 gigawatts, back to the 80s. I even tight rolled the jeans that I'm wearing today to make it authentic. It's going to be good. Hey, let me just remind you of this. There's something that happened in the 80s that was very peculiar. Actually, a lot of things. We're going to talk about that. But let's remember this, that there was a huge spirit of fear that hit not just America, but a lot of people around the world, because we were afraid of a lot of things. In the 80s, we were afraid of Russia, afraid of World War III at any moment. It could be just nuclear disaster. Chernobyl happened, the AIDS outbreak happened, and that was a horrible thing. People were afraid to go to the toilet anywhere but at home. And some of you, now you know where that came from. That was from the 80s. We're also afraid of the hole in the ozone layer. Anybody remember that? How retro is that? That's gonna kill us all. There's a hole in the ozone layer. That's a big deal. Have you ever wondered why we don't hear about that much anymore? I actually checked on that, and there's a whole group of scientists that have looked and studied the ozone layer and figured out that it's actually getting smaller over time. Like, that's a weird thing. So it was a big deal. Now it's not so much of a big deal. So we'll move on to other things. But that's not really what was the main thing to be afraid of in the church. In the 80s, the church was all about the rapture. Didn't want to be left behind. I wish we'd all been ready. Because at any moment, you're going to hear a trumpet, and then you're just going to see nothing but a pile of clothes fall to the ground. People are going to know that you wore Spanx. Wish you'd been ready. You got left behind. We all just took off. We're going to go see Jesus, and I feel sorry if your pilot was a believer. Now it's your time. There was a book written called 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming Back in 1988. Spoiler alert. Might not want to buy that one. And then it was funny because he said, no, I was off by a few months. It's actually going to be in this month. And then, of course, awkward. But he sold more books. So there's a new book that I have coming out. No, I'm just kidding. No, let me just remind you, there's a lot of things to be afraid of, especially in the 80s. It was a weird time. Now, for me personally, as a kid growing up in the 80s, I wasn't afraid of the rapture. I didn't have a lot of sin then. But what I was afraid of was getting pregnant by swallowing a watermelon seed. That was yes. You see, I didn't know that until about 2020 that guys couldn't get pregnant. I didn't know that at the time, that could. I was afraid. I was also very much afraid of quicksand, by the way. That was a big deal. I thought my adult years would be filled with a lot more quicksand than they really are. And I was afraid of the Bermuda Triangle. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. It was the 80s. Times were different. But the Bermuda Triangle was this mysterious place where planes went crazy and people just disappeared. And I was afraid that at some point in my life, I'd have to figure out how to get out of the Bermuda Triangle, because we were afraid of a lot of things. Now, in Numbers chapter 14, there was a spirit of fear that hit God's people. And if you're familiar with the Bible, there's a title to this chapter in your paper Bible. And it says this: the people rebel. The people rebel. So in our series called The Rebel Heart, we're going to talk about what it means for us to have a good rebellion or a bad rebellion. Now, all rebellion is not bad, and all submission is not good. There are some things that we submit to that God says, you don't submit to that. And there are some things that we rebel against that God says, I want you to rebel against that. This is wrong. So we're talking about what it means to channel our rebellion, that spirit that's inside of each of us, that rebellious heart, into a godly purpose. What does God say absolutely stand against? And in this particular passage, we see that God was absolutely leading them into something beautiful and wonderful, and the people rebelled against God by listening to the voice of their fears. And this is something that we still deal with in the church today. Now, the reason why they were so afraid is because they had sent out some spies into the promised land, and they saw the things that they were about to encounter. Now, a couple of them said, hey, this is a beautiful and wonderful and amazing thing. This is going to work. This is going to be good. But there are 10 of them that said, you guys are crazy. We need to just go back and become slaves. We would rather die than to trust in God's promises. Because what they saw frightened them. I found this to be true. I want to start out with this simple point. It is hard convincing myself to submit to God's word over what I see. This is the problem that we still encounter today. I'll see something, and then my mind makes it into something even bigger than what it actually is. Anybody else know exactly what I'm talking about today? I'll see something, and in my mind, I'll take it to level 3, and then level 4, then level 5, then level 6. And next thing you know, I'm just believing that something bad has already happened before I even take a step. That spirit of fear has a way of convincing me to listen to that voice rather than to do what God told me to do. If we're gonna be honest today, every single one of us will struggle with that in some area of our lives. There's what God says, and then there's what I'm actually gonna do. It's hard to convince myself to submit to God's word over what I see. And so this particular passage in Numbers 14 focuses on two amazing, rebel-hearted, awesome young men. And it reminds me of the two Coreys of the 80s. And some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but the Coreys were not afraid to face the vampires of Santa Clara. And let me just tell you, that was an amazing movie. I cannot fully endorse that from the pulpit because people would leave this church for watching a vampire movie. But let me just tell you, I was a fan of the two Coreys. And so here we see two people named Joshua and Caleb that had an amazing revelation. They had seen what God had done in their past, and they believed that the same God that had done it would do it again. And the God that had led them there did not leave them here in this place to disappoint them or lead them to some kind of death and some kind of horrible thing that's on the other side. No, they said, God has done great things for us. Let's go over. This is the next step. But nobody listened. So starting in verse 6, it says this: Joshua and Caleb were among those who had explored the land, and they tore their clothes. Anybody remember Hulkamania from the 80s? Remember that? Just like, as a show of strength. This is what these guys were doing. Like, what is wrong with you? They tear their clothes. Like, stop listening to that voice of fear. Stop listening to that. They tore their clothes, and they said this to the entire Israelite assembly: the land that we passed through and we explored, it's exceedingly good. It's good what God has for us next. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God's going to give it to us. Only, look at these next few words: do not rebel against the Lord. I think those scriptures are just as powerful today as they were back then. That same cry from Joshua and Caleb is just as prevalent and as appropriate for them as it is for us today. Don't rebel against the Lord. Well, how would we rebel against the Lord? God, I'm not rebelling against you. He says, you're rebelling against the Lord by listening to them and being afraid of what's next. That's important for us to grasp today. He said, don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of that land, because we will devour them. Why? The Lord's on our side. He led us here. That's next for us. It's a good thing. We're going to devour them. He said, their protection is gone. God's protecting us. The Lord is with us. I want you to remember that. That's going to be important for you in this next season of your life. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. There's a reason why when Jesus came, the prophecies about him they would describe him as Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came down in the flesh to be God with us, humans, us, God with us. And Joshua and Caleb said, look, the Lord is with us. He's not with them. He's with us. God is with us, and it says, do not be afraid of them. There's something that happens when we face fears. Fears get loud. Fears get crazy. Fears will confront us and force us to do things that we would not normally submit to. And Joshua and Caleb says, don't submit to that voice of your fears, and instead submit to the Lord by rebelling against that. Don't rebel against God. Rebel against that spirit of fear. I want to remind you that if I can't correctly channel my fear, I will constantly rebel against God. This is important because I need to step on your toes just a little bit today, because this is critical in the world in which we live. We see what happens in the middle of America during election season. We see what happens when people prey upon our fears in order to get our votes. And Joshua and Caleb, as they're screaming at the people of God, I think the voices are still screaming at us today. Don't live in fear. Submit to the Lord. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Step into what God has called you to step into. Submit to the Lord by rebelling against that fear. And if I can't correctly channel that fear, I'm going to find myself constantly rebelling against the Lord, constantly living below what the Lord has for me. And so that's a beautiful and wonderful thing when we start recognizing what to do with fear. So I want to give you three things that are important today. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. I think for many of us, especially for us guys, we'd say, I'm not afraid of much. I was raised in the 90s where everything was about no fear. Remember that? No fear. Everything's no fear, no fear, no fear. But all of us have fear. And here's the thing. Let me just step on your toes for just one moment. Fear was an emotion given to you by God. Fear itself is not inherently wrong or bad. And fear by itself, it's not something that's demonic. It matters where you channel it. Fear was given by God. It can be very beneficial. It can be very natural and very normal. You can be afraid. It's okay. But there was something that crept into our church. I think it was around the 80s that made us feel like anything that made us afraid was absolutely something to stand against. Not everything that scares you is something to rebel against. There are plenty of times that the Lord will give us in Scripture where fear was an absolute natural emotion and the response that they gave was appropriate. It's okay. But let's understand that there are some things that we have to understand about fear before we even know where to channel it. So here's the first of three things I want to share with you. Number one, fear has categories. Fear has categories, like a hurricane has categories, right? Fear has categories. Now, they don't go from bad to worse, but we need to correctly channel what we're doing with our fear according to what kind of fear it is. And so for the sake of time, we're just gonna focus on three different types of fear today. We're gonna focus on the fear of the Lord, which the Bible says is really, really good for us to have an honor and a reverence and a respect for God. And then there's also the spirit of fear, where the Bible says, I want you to rebel against that. And then there's just being scared. Just being scared. Somebody jumps out of a closet. That's not the spirit of fear. You got startled. Okay, so there's something completely different. You know, and that's kind of what happened over the past 4 years when there was a virus that gripped our country. And the church was one of the first people to say, no, there's no fear, no fear, no fear. Like, well, first of all, calm down. No one understood anything. We didn't know. And when we're facing things that we don't know, it's natural for us to say, I'm not sure about this. What do we do? I've never seen this before. Now, looking back, there's a lot of hindsight. Hindsight is 20/20. It's easy for us to say, I'm not afraid of COVID, but at the time, we didn't know. Come on, we didn't know. So it's important that we understand, am I scared? Or is this the spirit of fear that's attacking me? How do I know the difference between a natural and normal response that God gave me and something that is demonic that I have to rebel against? That's important. Because if we don't understand how to channel correctly those fears, we're going to find ourselves rebelling against God. So fear has categories. And by the way, when we're looking at the Bible and it uses the word fear, it's not always in a negative context. And sometimes we just don't understand the word. And sometimes it's not a good translation of the word. So in the Hebrew word, for example, in Psalm 139, there's a very famous scripture that I love, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't you like that scripture? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I like the wonderfully made part. It's the fearfully made part that I'm like, well, maybe we should change that word. I actually looked into that. What does it mean when it says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? Does it mean I was made full of fear? Is that what it's talking about? But in the original context, fearfully and wonderfully, if you look at those three words, there actually is no and. In the Hebrew language, there's no and, so it's fearfully, wonderfully. And when you put those two adjectives together, what you find is the word fearfully better translates extremely. I am extremely wonderfully made. That paints a whole different picture on the word fear. We see it. No, it's extremely wonderfully made. Now we can say, Lord, I am extremely wonderfully made. Do you understand the difference? So oftentimes we might read a word in the Bible and assume that it's applying to the English version and translation of fear when it's really not. It's different than what you think. This is why it's important that we understand our word and we dig deeper into what God's word is saying. Otherwise, we'll label everything as demonic and wrong, and this takes us right back to the 80s where there's a demon underneath every rock. And every song that you played, if you play it backwards, it'll kill your parents. Remember that? Like, let's calm down. First of all, CDs are coming out, and you're not going to want to play that thing backwards. You can scratch that thing up and never be able to play those songs again. There are categories to fear. So we're going to focus on the fear of the Lord, which is extremely important for believers to have an awe, a reverence, a respect, a love for our God. And then the spirit of fear, where God says, that's not to be a part of your life. And then there's just being scared. And I want you to see something very, very important. This is going to help you this week. I'm going to put this on the screen. I can be scared and still submit to God. I can be scared and not be in rebellion. I can say, Lord, I'm afraid. I don't like this. But here's what your word says. Okay, I'm going to do it. I remind you, being scared is not a sin. It's a perfectly natural and normal response. Being scared is natural. The fear of the Lord is beneficial. The spirit of fear takes a rebellion. So when we divide it up into those categories, we can see that there's the spirit of fear that is coming against believers. This is what we're standing against. I want to give you a biblical response to fear. Fear has categories, but I can be scared and still submit to God. I know that Daniel was scared when he had to face Johnny in the All Valley Karate High School Championship, but he had Mr. Miyagi in his corner. He did all right. And you can too. Come on, somebody, you remember? Wax on, wax off. Here's number two. Number two, the spirit of fear needs a rebellion. This is what we're gonna rebel against today. It's not just being scared. No, it's the spirit of fear. I want to define what that actually looks like, because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is what the word of God is saying. This is not for you. This is not given by God. This is something that you rebel against. What does that look like biblically? And so we get this. You've heard it already before in Pastor Zach. As soon as he came up during our closing of worship time, he referenced that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, for God has not given us that spirit of fear. That's not from God. There's a natural fear that God gave you, that you were born with, that keeps you alive and keeps you safe. Then there's the spirit of fear. So there's a difference. That's not from God. What has God given us? He said, power and love and a sound mind. It's like, calm down. That spirit of fear is what you're going to need to rebel against. And so there's a reason. When we look at it in context with where this scripture comes from, we get a better understanding of what that spirit of fear really looks like. And it's more than just being afraid of COVID. It's more than being afraid of a vaccine. It's more than being afraid of a candidate. It's more afraid of being, it's a better understanding of things that normally would grip us and force us to become slaves to our fear. Let me remind you of this. The spirit of fear paralyzes believers. It always has. And until we get a hold of this and what it means to rebel against it, it always will. We're consumed by our fears. It paralyzes us. What does it mean to have that spirit of fear? So Paul writes that to Timothy. God hasn't given us that spirit of fear. Why does he write that to him? Because Paul knows this. Please look at me. He's about to die. And young Timothy knows he's about to die. His execution date is rapidly approaching. And he's writing this letter to Timothy to tell him, hey, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. You can do this. Timothy's obviously afraid of losing his spiritual father and his mentor. Timothy feels completely underqualified in the job that God has called him into. He said, I'm young. I don't know the things that you know. I can't do the things that you do. And you're the mighty man of God. And I'm just learning. I don't know how to do all this stuff. And it's difficult for me to do this. And I can't imagine doing this ministry stuff without you. You've helped me. And Paul said, what are you talking about? You are ready. You're more than ready. It's time for you to step up and be who God has called you to be. I'm going on to something better. And you need to be happy for me. It's difficult sometimes to trust God's word over what we're seeing and what we're feeling. And that's that spirit of fear where Paul says, that didn't come from God. Come on, resist that. You can do this. That spirit of fear will paralyze believers and to make them think stuff like, I can't do what God's asking me to do. That's for those people that are more spiritual than me. I can't do that. I can't step in. That's That's for those people that are really good and really strong, and for those people that are old, not for me. Those are people that know God better and have a better relationship. I can't do that. That's the spirit of fear. When it causes you to cower back instead of stepping into what God has for you. This is what we find in Numbers chapter 14, where the people of Israel have walked right up to the crossing into the promised land, and they take a step back. I can't do it. And they forgot all about the things that God had done miraculously on their behalf to get them to that point. We still do much of the same things today. We face something that looks a little scary. We face something that looks to be a little frightening. We face something new that God has called us into, and we say, I don't know if I can do that. And we forget all the things that God did to get us here. We forget that he's faithful. He's had miracle after miracle on our behalf. Anybody ever had God do a miracle in your life? You ever seen it? You ever been a part of something where God did that? And you're like, wow, God is real. This is amazing. We have those experiences. But in the midst of God calling us into a new season, calling us into something that's scary, perhaps calling us into a season of suffering, none of us want to trust God and remember the things that God did that got us to this point. It's much easier to look back than it is to look forward. We're afraid. What does that spirit of fear look like in our lives? I want to give you some signs that you might be facing a spirit of fear, and you are. I won't step into my calling. I won't pursue more for the Lord. If someone's walking through a difficult season, they're explaining it to me, and I feel the Spirit speaking to me saying, you need to pray for them. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Spirit of fear. You know, the literal interpretation when Paul says, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, you know what that interprets literally? Is the spirit of cowardice and timidity. Paul says, God didn't call you to be a coward. You're not a coward. Step up and do what God has called you to do. And by the way, this is where we find the state of the church today. Afraid of being uncomfortable. Afraid of the awkward. Afraid of the cringe. Afraid of, that's gonna get weird. Let me just be really, really honest with you. A walk with God at times and stepping out in faith, it's gonna get weird. It's gonna get weird. That's the spirit of fear that you're battling against. When Paul tells Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of being a coward. We still see that happening in our lives today. When God calls us into something new, like, I don't know. Let me just remind you, there are things that God's word has clearly stated that believers need to be doing. And when we find ourselves not doing those things, you're battling against the spirit of fear. So when I don't pray for someone that I know is struggling, when I hear the Holy Spirit stirring with me on the inside, it says, come on, step out. That's the spirit of fear. And let me just speak frankly, particularly to the men for just a moment. When we talk to men and they're having difficulties in their marriage, and I ask things like, are you praying with your wife? And they, no, I couldn't do that. Like, you're coward. Coward. Pray for her. But it's weird. Yeah, it's called the spirit of fear. Rebel against that. Lead your family. Are you praying with your kids? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. That's weird. Yeah, spirit of fear. Rebel against it. Submit to the Lord. Pray over your kids. I don't know what they would think of me. They think you're an amazing dad that cares about them, that understands where your help comes from. Come on, pray. Do it out loud. Oh, man, I don't know if I could ever do that. Rebel against that spirit of fear. This is what's happening in Numbers 14 and back in 2 Timothy. Paul is saying, you're not a coward. Step into all God has called you to be. Is it going to be weird? Yes, that's one of the signs that you know you're onto something good. It's awkward. It's cringy. I get it. But God hadn't given us that spirit of fear. What might it look like? Oh, I can't get into a group. I'd be afraid. There's people there. Rebel against that. I can't tithe. I don't have enough money as it is. Rebel against that. I could never give and support. I can't go help someone that has less than me. No, I'm just worried about myself. Rebel against that. Is it weird? Yes. It's also God. And this is where we find the children of Israel about to step into the promises that God has called them out of slavery to walk into. And based upon what they see and what they feel, they turn around and walk away. They give in to that spirit of fear. Last week, I gave you something that was just kind of off the top of my head that's something that I do in my own life, and I told you, scripture before screens. And I was shocked how quickly people grabbed onto that, and they're like, hey, that's really helped me a lot, scripture before screens. I'm going to read God's word before I log on to Facebook. I'm going to read God's word before I check my email. That's been a big hit this week. I didn't realize it was going to be that revelatory, but scripture before screens is a big deal when you honor God first. I want to give you something else that might help you, and hopefully this will be just as helpful as scripture before screens. Are you ready for this? Prayer before panic. Let prayer be our first response, not our last resort. Prayer before panic. Before you're freaking out, I'm freaking in prayer. I'm in. I'm in God's presence. I'm praying. Why? Because it keeps me from panicking. This world is hard. There's things that hit me. I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I'm afraid. This is, yes, me. Pray first and ask the Lord to help me. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. This is new to me. I don't understand. I talk to him first. Another thing that you might be dealing with the spirit of fear is the fear that God is waiting to punish you. That the God of the Old Testament has somehow done away with the God of the New Testament that sent his son to be punished on your behalf. The God that could never forgive me. The God that only wants to punish me. God hates me. God's punishing me. I want to remind you of a very, very powerful scripture in 1 John. 1 John reminds believers that there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It says that fear has to do with punishment. But because of the blood of Christ, I'm not under the punishment any longer. I'm underneath the blood. It means I can ask for forgiveness and he'll forgive me. I can ask for grace and he'll cover me. I can ask for his mercy and it's there. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. I get another chance to get up and try again in spite of my fears. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So it's important for us to understand that. Here's the final thing I want to remind you of. Number three, let's talk about practical rebellion. Are there some practical things that we can do? We already talked about before we panic, we're going to pray, like prayer before panic, right? I want to give you some things that I think are helpful to me personally. Now, this is not a complete list of things that you can do when you're facing that spirit of fear, but this is a concise version of the things that have been really, really helpful to me. And here's the first of a couple of things I want to share with you. I can rebel against fear by submitting my words, by submitting the way that I speak, by changing my words to line up with God's word. Now, before we go any farther, I want to make sure that we clear up this because there's a doctrine that's kind of crept into the spirit of the age and into the church that would tell you that you can speak out things and just manifest them. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. That's something completely, completely different. No, but the Bible does speak very clearly and in multiple places about the power of your confession. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. And the words that you choose to use when you're battling your fears, they matter to God. So we can choose to speak in faith, not denying reality, not saying this doesn't exist in Jesus' name. No. Say, Lord, this is hard in Jesus' name. Help me. I'm afraid. I don't like this, but I trust you. And you're a good God. And if you've done it before, you can do it again. You're a powerful God. And I may be weak, but you're strong. I recognize, Lord, that I'm afraid in this moment, but it's not bigger than you. You can help me. You've always helped me. You're going to help me again. You've got me through this. You got me through that. You got me through that. I know you're going to take care of this. I can change the way that I talk. I can rebel against that spirit of fear by changing the way that I speak. Sometimes you have to change your inner monologue. Sometimes you have to change the station. I remember our Saturday morning cartoons in the 80s. Don't touch that dial. Remember that? Don't touch that dial. Some of you are like, what's a dial? Let me just reverse that. Touch the dial. Change the channel. Don't listen to that. You know that that voice of fear is only going to lead you where you've already been. I can rebel against that spirit of fear by changing the way that I speak. And here's what would happen when we give in to that spirit of fear. We will change the way that we speak and direct our words in anger towards somebody else. Because I'm afraid I'll rip somebody else's life apart. That's not us. That's not believers. We're going to change the way that we speak. We believe and trust in God. Therefore, we're going to speak out things that we know to be true. We're going to quote God's word. By the way, this is the way that Jesus did it in the desert. He began to quote scripture back to his issues. He spoke the word. We find this also in 2 Corinthians. I want you to look at this, chapter 4. Paul says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, look at this, I believed and so I spoke. What do you believe in? If you believe the Lord is bigger than the situation, then speak like that. I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. And verse 16 says, therefore, we don't lose heart. Because I believe in God and I've changed the way that I speak about my issues, I don't lose heart. I don't freak out. I'm freaking in prayer. Here's another thing that I do. I can rebel against fear by taking a step regardless. Taking a step in spite of my fear. We have numerous examples of this, of the people of God completely afraid, gripped by the spirit of fear, but doing it anyway. You know, we had this with Peter when he and the disciples are out on the boat and they looked and thought they saw a ghost. Turns out it was Jesus. Surprise. Don't be afraid. Like, are you kidding me? Don't be afraid. You're walking on water. That's a little freaky. But Peter says, Lord, if it is you, let me do that. Now, were all of them afraid? Sure. But one of them asked Jesus if he could do it. And in spite of his fears, he got out of a boat and started walking on water. And some of us could say, yeah, but he started sinking. Well, he walked on water farther than you did, farther than I did. He actually did it for a few steps. And then Jesus asked him, why did you doubt? Why'd you get afraid? You were doing it. He's like, because I'm a fisherman. I've never done this before. Might not be a big deal for you, Jesus. It's a big deal for me. In spite of his fears, he still stepped out. Why? Because Jesus said, come on. You've got fears too. I've got fears. But Jesus today is saying, trust me. Step out. Step over here. You can do this in spite of your fears. There was a man named Ananias one time. God began to speak to him and says, I want you to go and pray for a guy named Saul. And you're going to lay hands on him, and he's blind, and he's going to recover his sight. And I said, I am afraid to do what you're asking me to do. God, do you know who that is? That's Saul. That's the one I'm trying to hide from. He's coming to hunt Christians. He's looking for me, and you're telling me, go find him? Afraid. But God says, don't be afraid. Be obedient. God says, I'm going to show him how much he needs to suffer for my name. What a powerful scripture. And Ananias, in spite of his fears, goes and lay hands on Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul. And he recovers his sight. And he calls him brother. What an amazing thing. I wonder what God could do in spite of your fears if we would just step out. We would do what God is asking us to do. Do it scared, but do it. Do it awkward, but do it. In Numbers 13, we go back to our story. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let's just go up at once. I know you're afraid. Let's just do it. Remember the Nike slogan from the 80s that came out? Just do it. I know we're afraid. Let's just go up at once. Let's just do it. I know we're afraid. Let's just go. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's take possession, for we are well able to overcome this. Look at the power of that confession. He said, I'm willing to take a step right now. Let's just go. But I want you to notice what happened. The men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Is that a true response? Yes. Were they able in their own strength? No. Were the people over there stronger than they were? Yes. But they're not stronger than God. Faith isn't denying reality. Faith is saying, my God is above reality. And if he's calling me to it, he'll walk me through it. Many of us will never see the miraculous moves of God because we're afraid to step out. Afraid to walk in faith in the midst of the awkward and the cringy moments. Here's the last thing I want to share with you. I can rebel against fear by listening to what God is saying. Let me just remind you, those are some of the most beautiful times of your life in the midst of your fears. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord and silence the voice of that fear, you can hear God's voice real clear, real clear. If we can rebel against that spirit of fear. We find a great example of this, one of many, by the way, when an angel just suddenly appears to a young virgin named Mary, who had become the mother of Jesus. He said, greetings. And she was shocked and alarmed, like, who in the world just appears, walks through a wall, which, by the way, Jesus was notorious for. They watched him get crucified, put in the ground. They went to his funeral, and all of a sudden, he just walks through walls. Hey, everybody, easy. Well, that's the spirit of fear. Let's rebuke that. No, that's Jesus. You're not rebuking that one. You're just scared. So she's scared. The angel said greetings and says, but Mary was very startled. It's okay. The angel says, don't be afraid, Mary. Instead, what do I want you to do? Listen. Listen. In the midst of your fears, the Lord is speaking. And if we're going to be honest today, there are things that the Lord has that are next steps for you. I am living proof of that. If you're still breathing, please look at me. If you're still breathing, God's not done. Yeah. There's more for you. And in this next season, as we approach election season, fear is going to go off the scale. I can be afraid and still submit to God. But I will resist that spirit of fear by reminding myself of how good and how powerful my God is. He has helped me. I'm still here. If I'm still breathing, there's another step for me. Lord, what are you asking for me? I want to finish with that question. I want you to ask this of yourself. Ask this in faith. What is the Holy Spirit telling me not to be afraid of? Let me just give you a quick update. It's not going to be spiders. It's not going to be snakes. It's not going to be vampires. There's a next step for you. And let me remind you of this. You are not a coward. You are more than able to do what God has equipped you to do because he's with you. He's with you. He is God with us. If God is with me, there's nothing that I can't do. As we finish up right there today, I want to give you a chance to maybe respond to what the Holy Spirit might be telling you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Would you pray that with me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What have I been afraid of? What's keeping me up at night? Is there something I'm looking at in the future that's causing me a lot of anxiety and worry? And Lord, what does your word say about that? Is there something that God is asking me to do that I've just not submitted to him? Have I rebelled against the Lord in some way by not being obedient? It might look like praying for your spouse. It might look like praying for your children. It might look like giving and tithing, honoring the Lord with your finances. It might look like praying for someone that you know is walking through a difficult season. You are not a coward, and you can do this. Father, I pray that you give my friends strength to do what you've accomplished, what you have for them to accomplish. Would you bless and help them? With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of us would say by the simple lifting of our hands, Pastor, I'm walking through a season of some fear right now. You're speaking my language. Where are you at? There's almost every hand in the room. Wow. You can put your hands down. Let me pray for you. Father, right now, I pray that you would come, give us clear direction, and help us not to shrink back in fear. Help us not to be cowards. Help us not to be timid, but to step into whatever you called us to step into. Lord, we believe that you are good, and where you're calling us to next is good. In Jesus' name. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I need a relationship with the Lord. My friend, if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. And you can pray this prayer out loud. You can pray it silently. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you believe it. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, pray with me. If you, maybe you've been walking with the Lord before, but you've gotten away from God, pray this with me. I'll tell you what to say. Pray with me. Just say this. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died. And I believe you rose from the grave. I believe that you came to give me life and forgive me of my sins. So I ask for forgiveness. Save me. Help me. I give my life to you right now. In Jesus' name. Now, just those of you that actually prayed that prayer, not afraid or ashamed to admit it, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I would never do that. But if that's you and you actually prayed that prayer, can I just see your hands all across this place? Good. Good. Anyone else today? I want you to know that those of you that just prayed that prayer, there is a phone number appearing behind me on a screen. I want to invite you to text me. Text the words, I pray, to that number, and I'll send you back some things that will help you understand what just happened in your heart and what to do next. Good for you. For everyone else, go ahead and look up at me if you would, and let's stand to our feet together. I'm going to invite our elders and their wives forward to be able to pray with you about anything that you might need prayer for. As our service ends today, these guys will stay right here and make themselves available to you. I think it would be a shame for you to walk into this place needing prayer and to walk out and not have gotten it. So we will stay right here to pray for anybody that needs prayer. If you're walking through a rough season, let us pray for you. Then for everybody else, I want to bless you and just speak a blessing over you as we finish up today. I want to remind those that are watching online, hey, would you do us a favor? Click the share button. It always makes a huge difference when you do that. We have thousands of people that watch our service every week from all around the world. Many of those believers don't have a home church. They don't have anyone that they've connected to. And so this is their version of church. And hey, we just appreciate that so much. When you use your social media influence to spread the gospel and the good news of Jesus, we are 100% behind that. We support that. That's a big deal. So thank you for sharing this message on your social media feed. And then let me bless you and send you out. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week? Would you let them not listen to that voice of the spirit of fear and instead help them to become all that you've called them to be by stepping into this new season? Watch over them. Bless their marriages. Bless their families. Bless their finances. Bless their relationships. Bless their jobs. We ask these things in the mighty and matchless, powerful name of Jesus. And all of us said together, one big loud amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Go Cowboys.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.